Thank you so much for having me. It's such a delight and an honor to be here with you today. I have to say, this was my first Women Deliver conference, and I went in a little bit skeptical, and I came home a changed woman and a believer. So congratulations to Susan and the team. My skepticism was, will all of this hullabaloo and expense and glamour change into action? Will the dialogue continue? And the evidence is here with all of you in the room today that yes, the dialogue will continue, and yes, we are moving forward with solutions. So I'm always happy to eat my words. I am a registered midwife. I do work in Canada. I want to take a moment to give you a quick overview of our model of care there. Midwifery in Canada is a relatively new profession, ironically, in the sense of regulation and public funding. And that puts us in a unique position in the developed world to be able to partner abroad with other countries where midwifery is new in the regulated sense, in the funded sense. We have a 30-year roadmap from zero to functional that we can share with our partners. And we do provide a continuity model of care. So we work in groups, a maximum size of 4 midwives, and we take care of 40 to 60 women per year. This is important because if you've read the Cochrane Review on models of midwifery or care, you'll know that the continuity model of care is the most supported by the evidence in terms of maximizing outcomes. And it's a piece that was one of the tools that was shared with us at the Midwifery Symposium. I was a participant in Women Deliver and the pre-conference, the third Midwifery Symposium. And this year's theme was Young Midwives in the Lead. So it continued with the youth agenda that we saw at Women Deliver. The definition of youth was a little different. When you're a midwife, it's under 35, perhaps because you age prematurely. And you can see the many partners that were involved in making this symposium happen. And in particular, I want to thank UNFPA for their incredible support in making this happen, in bringing these young midwifery leaders together, and in corralling an incredible caliber of mentors to work with us over the course of the 3 days. If I reflect on Women Deliver, I would say the word that sticks with me is intersectionality. It was a conference that honored the intersectionality of women's identities and, of course, the intersectionality of the different sustainable development goals, as we've talked about, not just 3 and 5, and intersectionality of the various organizations and players that are going to see these goals become a reality. So the young midwifery leaders, we were 32 leaders from 31 countries. And it was an excellent investment, example of investment in individuals. So if you've read the global strategy, you'll know that this is one of the key factors. And one individual can make a difference. And if you ask why midwives, I'm sure many of you know that with global standard education and regulation, midwives can meet 87% of the needs of women and children. So we really are the solution. We also happen to be terribly cost effective, which really makes us a best buy when it comes to maternal newborn child health. The problem with midwives is we're clinicians. We're on the ground and we're entrenched. We work long days and late nights. We don't get weekends, as many of you know. And what that means is that the midwifery leaders, their strengths, they were educators. They were involved in their associations and they were advocates, but they often came to these roles because no one else wanted them. Not necessarily because they were born with a drive to be a leader. And our training is as clinicians. We are midwives. There isn't an advocacy component to your midwifery training. So how do you gain these skills? And this is where the Midwifery Symposium really shined. It addressed our weaknesses, regulation, research, policy. Many of the tools were things that you'll be familiar with. The Lancet series on midwifery, the Lancet series on stillbirth, the State of the World Midwifery Report is a fantastic resource. And if you're working in a particular country, I'd encourage you to pull up the report on your country. It's particularly useful for health resource planning. It looks at where you're at today and what sort of a health workforce you'll have in 2030 and how are you going to bridge the gap is the question that comes up there. The State of the World Midwifery Report doesn't really apply in the Canadian context, but they do have a list of 10 essential pieces of information that all associations should have and that are relevant in developed countries. For example, in Canada, I realized that we do not have attrition data for our midwives. So that was one of the take-home pieces of action for me from the symposium. We looked at the global strategy. We, of course, reviewed the Cochrane Review. Johnson & Johnson provided some very useful workshops, one on logic modeling. Again, if you went to midwifery school, you probably didn't study logic modeling. And I know our Ministry of Health has adopted logic modeling as their new language, which means it has to be my language when I'm at the negotiation table with them next year. They also had a very useful social media strategy. I know that many of us pick up our phone, and when we have 5 minutes, we try our best to tweet and Instagram and such, but it's rather willy-nilly. And I learned about the importance of having an even tone and an even distribution of posts. Perhaps what I got most, however, from the Midwifery Symposium was connection, which was one of the keywords that Susan brought up. And it would be extremely difficult for me in any other context to connect with UNFPA, World Health Organization, JAPIGO, AMREF, organizations who will be on the ground in the same place as I'm on the ground, but not necessarily talking to each other, but now we'll be talking to each other from the outset. We've got connections with the organizational supports that we need, and we have mentorship, which is huge. So each of the young midwifery leaders has been paired with a mentor. They will be tracking their media pieces, their accomplishments and actions in their home countries, and we'll be assessing their progress at ICM, International Confederation of Midwives Conference in Toronto in July of 2017. We did make a call to action, and you will see it published on the Lancet's blog next month if you're interested. But the call to action from the young midwifery leaders was fascinating in terms of how common the challenges were, whether or not you were in a developed or developing country. And I want to spend a moment addressing this. So, for example, one of the key challenges identified was regulation. Even in a country like Canada, we do not have midwifery regulation in all provinces and territories, which is shocking. In other places, we might have regulation, but we do not have public funding. In South Sudan, there is no regulation whatsoever and no licensure. And you can imagine the challenges that this presents. Another example of a common challenge is the challenge to implement evidence-based care. In Nepal, implementing evidence-based care might look like the primary goal there to end routine episiotomies. In Canada, it looks like normalizing birth and tackling our C-section rate. And we know that there are really only three interventions in Canada that have been shown to reduce the C-section rate, and that's have your baby with a midwife, use a doula, and stay out of a hospital, interestingly enough. So we need this data to be able to change policy, whether you're working in a developed or developing country. As we move on, there are some challenges that are, of course, unique. And those are the need for secure work environments and access to information technology. And this brings me to the Canadian Association of Midwives International Work. What I want to say about this international work is how much it's done for both Canadian midwives, and how much I hope it will do for midwives abroad. There is so much to be gained from these kind of country-to-country partnerships. And these partnerships came out of the last ICM conference in Prague, where Canadian midwives were paired, our association, with the Tanzanian Midwives Association. And out of that was born a project, Midwives Save Lives, which started with a small grant from the Sanofi Foundation and is now being expanded to Benin, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Benin, and Ethiopia, rather, which is incredible. And we've also partnered with the UNFPA to deliver phase two of a project strengthening midwives in South Sudan. So Global Affairs Canada and Sweden, they're the very big players when it comes to maternal health funding in South Sudan. And we're extremely excited to be involved. The Strengthening Midwife Services in South Sudan project is a 5-year project, and it's driven by the ICM, International Confederation of Midwives, three pillars, which are association, regulation, and education. Of the three pillars, our real focus is the association piece. I can't stress that enough. We're taking on what we call a twinning approach, inspired by the ICM twinning, and it's an egalitarian approach to development. And the experts I was connected with at Women Deliver, and that's the Royal Dutch Organization of Midwives, are the experts in twinning, and they have produced both a handbook for twinning, and they're about to publish research on best practices in twinning. So another great example of connection at Women Deliver. Now, for those of you who aren't particularly familiar with South Sudan, population of about 11.5 million, the majority, 91% rural. And the outcomes are a little bit shocking. Total fertility rate, 6.7. Maternal mortality ratio, estimates vary between 750 and 2,050 per 100,000 women. Newborn mortality ratio, 37. Only 15% of births are attended by a skilled birth attendant. Less than half of women receive any antenatal care. Add to this the difficulties that have been in the news recently. For those of you who are not aware, there was a resurgence of violence. It started on the 8th, and our two staff members managed to get out of Juba on the 11th. I know that the Americans have sent in extra troops. Canadians have closed their embassy. So this is a resurgence of violence. It has occurred between their president and their vice president, who represent the Dinka and Nuer tribes respectively. It was this conflict that led to the civil war in 2013. There was a peace agreement signed in August of 2015. However, it's yet to be seen if they'll be able to calm the surge of violence there right now. And I want this to be an opportunity. The South Sudanese Nurse and Midwifery Association, who I've been in communication with, they wrote me and they said, please raise awareness to what's happening and please raise some morale. So I know that they're watching, and I want them to know that we're thinking about them and that we are not going to give up on them despite the conflict that's there. The conflict is having wide-reaching effects on our ability to implement this project. The government, their budget, it's hung up on dealing with the conflict. They don't have a budget to put towards healthcare. Transportation, it's not safe to go to midwifery school at the Health Science Institute. And if you graduated, it's not safe transport to practice out in the community. So it's important for us to think about particularly care in humanitarian and fragile settings. And I was extremely pleased to see the breadth of dialogue on this at the Women Deliver Symposium. And it definitely provided tours, provided tools and contacts for us dealing with this new kind of working environment in the Canadian Association of Midwives, and working together with UNFPA to deliver services. The program will work on strengthening midwifery and nursing education, supporting task shifting and strengthening clinical practice, deploying international and national UN volunteer midwives. We're going to do a peer-to-peer pairing of 15 new Canadian graduates with 15 new South Sudanese graduates so they can offer each other support in their first years of practice. And supporting a strengthened, enabled environment for gender-sensitive maternity care. What this looks like is clinical practice guidelines coming into place, new tutor manuals, we've got to do research on operations, building the capacity of their midwifery association, which will be my particular focus as an individual, developing position statements, and then bringing on everyone together at ICM in 2017 to draw some more attention to the project. Again, what I want to come back to is how when we work together, everybody wins. And CAM's work abroad and our partnership with UNFPA is doing so much to raise the profile of midwifery in Canada, in South Sudan, in the other East African countries that we're working in. And what it's about is it's about positioning midwives as experts in maternity care. And when you're positioned as an expert and supported by the ideal partner, then you grab the attention of policymakers locally. And before we started to work abroad, it was difficult to get our foot in the door nationally. We've spent a lot of time and a lot of dollars on lobbyists attempting to achieve this goal. And if anyone had told me, I don't think I would have believed how much this would help our agendas at home as well as abroad to have this partnership in place. So I would encourage you all to take a role in partnering with other organizations and with other sister associations abroad. And if you're interested in learning more about the Young Midwifery Leaders, check out the Lancet blog to read about our action statement. Thank you.